Welcome back. Hey, welcome to the program. That's 610-539-8255 if you'd like to be a part of it this morning. 610-539-TALK or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. It's time for our spotlight edition of the show. Welcome. And we've been talking about a lot of different things on the program today, but with us in studio right now, we've got a very special guest. We've got Gene Bulmer, who is an area director for the organization Life Leadership, who's joining us on the mic right now. Gene, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm very, very good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
All right. Have you gotten the chance to do something like this before?
No, this is my first time actually speaking on the radio. I've called into shows many times, expressing my vital opinion.
All right. Well, maybe you call into our show here in the future. And what brings you to our studio today? Tell us a little bit about Life Leadership.
Well, Life Leadership is a leadership content provider. All of us will be called on someday to lead. The question is that we have to ask ourselves is will we be ready when that time comes? So we build leaders, and leadership is really about influencing positive change. That change means making a difference that we wish to make in the life of an individual, an organization, or even a nation. We don't so much teach leadership as we create environments, circumstances, and experience where people discover and develop their leadership abilities. Our job is to model and message what true servant leadership is.
You know, where are you guys based at?
We're based out of North Carolina. That's where we ship all of our product, although more and more our product is becoming digital delivery via an app called Rascal Radio, which is much like Pandora.
Okay, so are you an organization or are you a business?
We're a business first, and then we are a ministry with a goal for culture change.
Gotcha. Okay, so you're not like a 501. You're not a nonprofit. You are actually a business.
We are.
Okay, awesome. So you go ahead and service. We're talking a little bit before the program about this. You service large corporations like Delta Airlines.
Delta Airlines uses our product. So does Sheetz gasoline and convenience stores throughout your state.
So, yeah, that's right. I had a friend in college who was nuts about Sheetz. He was so nuts about it. He was like, oh, we got to find a Sheetz. We would be, I think he was actually, because we'd sing in the choir in college, and we traveled to different churches and sing and things like that. We'd pass a Sheetz. He'd be like, oh, look, it's a Sheetz. He'd want to stop there. I always thought Wawa's were great, but I've stopped into a Sheetz every once in a while. They're pretty good.
They are pretty good. We'd like to think that's because their management is using our leadership subscriptions, which comes to them monthly. We have ways of getting our content out there and slowly building people's skill set, their self-esteem, their leadership abilities, their ability to develop other leaders within their organizations.
I'm curious, what other companies, and maybe we've heard of, maybe we haven't, maybe they're local, maybe they're not, what other companies? Because those are two big ones.
A lot of small organizations. I work with everything from corporations in New Jersey, Johnson & Johnson, to small to mid-sized churches. We have something called our 8 F's. The 8 F's are faith, family, finances, freedom, friends, fitness, following, which is our word for leadership, and fun. Because if you're not having fun along the way, none of it makes any sense.
Well, like that last F, you kind of throw a little fun at the workplace at least, right?
Yes, hopefully. Very stressful workplace. I keep hearing the great employment numbers, that employment is going up, but they seem like they fudge those numbers a little bit.
I would think so. There are a lot of people who think that way, most certainly. Because they say one thing about the numbers, but we see something very different in our day-to-day lives.
97 million people unemployed, yes.
Yeah. So, well, tell me a little bit about how Life Leadership got started. How did it get started? What was the premise of it?
The premise was a void in our culture. It was started by two gentlemen. Both were engineers with General Motors. One man's name is Orrin Woodward, who holds four patents and a benchmarking process for fuel pumps. He will sometimes poke fun at himself, saying that his whole existence was taking the noise of your fuel that your fuel pump makes when you turn on your engine and reducing it because it's an annoying sound. The other man was in charge of batteries, and they met on a project, NGM, and both felt, much like that movie The Matrix, that there was something wrong with the world and that they were the ones who were supposed to play a part in fixing it. So they combined forces after hearing a presentation by Michael Dell in which he spoke about content, meaning that you have to have a good product, commerce, meaning that you have to have a great delivery system, and then something that Dell couldn't wrap his hands around called community. If people buy a Dell computer, they might not buy a Dell computer next time. They might go HP. Put it this way, you don't see people driving around in their cars with a Dell sticker on it, but Apple has figured out community, and so has Life Leadership.
Oh, yes, they have. Yes, I'm guilty as charged an Apple user. I got one in my pocket, an iPhone.
Good for you.
iPhone 6 Plus. I got a lot of flack for that when I got the thing, because they're like, that's so big. How do you handle that thing? Oh.
It's almost like a tablet.
Yeah, it's half. I got one guy at the station here, actually, bugs me all the time. We do the whole Apple PC thing. You know, I'm a Mac and I'm a PC. Literally, that's us. I'm a Mac. Okay, he's the PC. That's all he uses, and we always take shots at each other. It's hilarious. If you're ever just walking around here in the station, if you come to visit, you'll actually see. It's a lot of fun, actually.
We actually have an app in the Apple Store. It's called Rascal Radio, and it works much like Pandora does. Pandora is, of course, for music. If you like Led Zeppelin, it might say that you might also like Jimi Hendrix, or if you like Third Day, it might tell you about Newsboys. Our app takes leadership content, so you might look up by speaker or by topic, conflict management or developing leaders within my organization, and then it'll play content like that for you on your mobile device.
Okay. Now, one of the things that Life Leadership, apart from the business side of things and what you do and working with different businesses and even churches, is that you're very much into fighting for religious liberty as an organization.
We are. We're losing liberties at an alarming pace, and while we don't preach red or blue, in fact, we have a slogan, it's not red, it's not blue, these just happen to be true, principles that are...
I like that.
Principles, thank you. It wasn't my idea.
I was going to say, did you come up with that yourself?
Well, sort of a rule in speaking is that the first time if you tell me an idea, the first time I mention it, I'll say, as my good friend Mike says, told me. The second time I'll say, as a friend of mine said, and the third time I'll say, I've always said it this way.
I love how that happens, that degeneration of, I think, did I say that? No, that must have been someone, I can't remember. I'll just say I said it.
But
that's funny.
As far, we are losing religious liberties. There seems to be a push that says we have a freedom to worship, but that's all they want to relegate it to. You have a freedom to worship, not freedom of religion. Freedom to worship says you go to your church and do whatever you want, preach to Jesus, preach to Buddha, or worship, but don't bring those ideas, those dangerous ideas, into the public arena. And of course, we do that, but. How do you do that? You can't run around like a chicken with its head cut off. The way to achieve culture change, constitutional religious culture change, is to do that through a better educated citizenry, teaching people.
Which starts with our kids.
Absolutely.
Starts in elementary school and then in middle school, high school. That's where we've seen a takeover of our kids, of our young Americans, through the manipulation of information. All information is controlled. And if we can break down those barriers, then we can see some interesting change. That and, I mean, and the gospel, I believe. But...
Yes. We have several tracts of content. One is leadership for corporations. The other is leadership for individuals. we've also pioneered, I don't think any other company has this out there, a program called The Edge, and it is for young adults. You could say teens. Now, between you and I listen to it myself because they have excellent programs on peer pressure and self-talk, what it is we say to ourselves.
Just keep that a secret between you, me, and everyone listening on the radio.
Oops, it's
Oops,
out.
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag.
I'm added on WFYL.
Oh, boy.
But, for instance, my daughter, Dana, has been listening to that program, that series of talks, for a long time. And 2 years ago, she's a senior now, but 2 years ago, she did an 18-page paper in high school on the biblical founding, the biblical roots of America. And my first job when I heard her topic was I called her teacher and made sure that she wasn't being set up for one of these headlines that you see, you know, student ridiculed in high school.
Huh.
But she got an A minus on the paper and a B plus in its oral defense, and we used information from Life Leadership and also from David Barton's excellent organization, Wall Builders.
And now that's interesting there, because David Barton himself is a figure of much controversy. He has been just absolutely crucified in the media, the mainstream media. Now, he has the largest collection of authentic writings, I guess, from the Revolution era. Now, we're going to head to a break, but we're going to continue the conversation to learn more about the organization of Life Leadership and how they're getting involved in the fight for religious liberty and behind some of the principles that they actually use when they work with large companies like Delta Airlines and Johnson & Johnson. We'll be back after this.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Hey, welcome back to the program. Mike Levins here, 1180 WFYLs. It's a new day. You could call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK. Or you could call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. We're continuing the conversation here with Gene Ballmer, who's an area director with Life Leadership. And they work with all sorts of large corporations, Delta, Johnson & Johnson, Delta meaning Delta Airlines. And they have their 8 F's. We're talking to them for our spotlight segment right now. Faith is the first one. And that's very interesting that you have that as the first one and that you're being utilized by many, many corporations or many businesses
I guess I would say probably around the country. But faith, family, finances, freedom, friends, fitness, following, and of course, fun, which a lot of times is lacking in the corporate atmosphere. At least that's the stereotype. The fun is lacking in the corporate atmosphere. But you guys are bringing fun back to the atmosphere, and that is incorporated. It's everything you do that meshes in with Christian principles, even the fun aspect.
Yes, one of our leaders happens to be Terry Brady. Terry, being a woman, a wife of one of the founders, just did a phenomenal talk.
Thank you for the clarification there, because I was immediately thinking a man for some reason.
Yes, well, we realize that we in culture change we're dealing with men and women. Hopefully, in married families,
right.
Raising their families, as
right.
you said, very important core of our culture. Even that's being under attack, but that's another conversation for another day. But Terry just had a phenomenal talk, which I'm stealing when I do my talks, based upon Dr. Seuss's Oh, the Places You'll Go. Now, I've read that to my kids over the years, but never looked at it as a leadership tool, and the different choices that we make and the streets that we go down or choose not to go down. But she did a phenomenal job, and it's one of our hottest sellers, so to speak. It's both available digitally and on CD. But it also incorporated fun into it, because most parents will remember reading that story to their children and then taking another look at it as a leadership development tool. It's just a very interesting twist.
That's interesting. Dr. Seuss being a source of inspiration. Well, I want to really hone in on these biblical principles that you guys use when you're talking, because you're a business, you're a for-profit entity, and you offer leadership tools, and those are the 8 F's, I guess, that are that's where your curriculum really centers around, those 8 F's, faith, family, finances, freedom, friends, fitness, following, and fun, and that's all biblically based in your curriculum. Is that correct?
It is. We have, even beyond that, all our content is biblically based, but we even have one that's specifically labeled All Grace Outreach. The faith F is a Christian outreach. It's a series that you can subscribe to, both book and CDs, and now digitally. In fact, I have a good friend of mine. His name is John. He began a subscription to Rascal Radio for the corporate side of it. And when I spoke to him 2 weeks ago, he says, you know, I've been in the faith section of that app for about the last 3 weeks. He says, that is absolutely fantastic content. And it's an interesting twist, because if I were to meet you at Starbucks, I wouldn't turn around and ask you if I could tell you about Jesus Christ. But I might listen to your conversation and then find out if there was a way that I could get in there with leadership. Once I have you hooked on very good leadership content, and it's all based on truth, on God's truth, then when I hand you one of our All Grace Outreach programs, the thought process, and I've seen it unfold many times, is, well, you haven't steered me wrong yet. I should at least listen to this. Mm-hmm. And that's a way to penetrate both organizations and individual thinking, because the culture change is a ground up game. The top is broken. And again, we don't preach red or blue, left or right. We don't get into squabbling matches when I go to tea parties and they want to talk about this agenda or that agenda. My real question to them is, what have you done in the last 30 days to talk to your neighbors and your friends and to get them on board as far as correct thinking?
All being based on the gospel.
Yes.
All being based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's refreshing, because a lot of people like to pigeonhole Christianity. They like to pigeonhole it where they don't think it's applicable to their business. They don't think it's applicable to business, period, to principles of business or economics or anything to do with our day-to-day lives. Yet you are making your living on biblical principles and helping others incorporate that into their businesses, and having such large corporations such as like a Johnson & Johnson, Delta Airlines. There's one in there that you said before that I'm
oh,
forgetting
Sheets
here. Sheets. That's right. And these corporations are latching on to this, and they're seeing real results. And that, to me, only attests to the power of Christianity, the power of Scripture, and its application in real-world situations.
Yeah, it's not like, Mike, it's not like we've made up concepts like integrity and strong families.
Had to come from somewhere.
And leadership. It's always interesting to me that when a natural disaster hits, the world will say, oh, where was God? And my question to them in general, not to anyone specifically, is where have you put him in your life? Why do you call on him only now? And it's obvious why they do. They're you know, a tidal wave hits and they don't know what else to do.
Tragedy strikes.
Sure. But I teach Christian apologetics in my private life in adult Sunday school. And an interesting thing happened at the U-Turn conference about a month ago.
We were at. That's how we got connected, actually. You were at the U-Turn conference with Sam Rohr talking about how to turn around the direction of our nation. And that's how we got connected.
Right, and it's almost as if God tapped me on the shoulder. I had a little private moment in a group of 500 people where all the teaching that I've done was really preparatory. You have to learn that stuff in a classroom, but now I use it when I'm talking. I use apologetic logic when I'm talking to corporations or individuals or an organization called the Convention of States. I had made a very strong plea to them to open. They weren't opening up their meetings with Christian prayer, and yet they say they want to do the same thing that our founders did. And I said, well, you might want to consider a prayer to Almighty God to ask for a blessing on your two-year project, whatever that might be. And got a lot of amens from the crowd.
Now, you yourself, you do a lot of networking with your place in the organization, and you network with a lot of faith-based organizations, churches, Tea Party chapters, like you've said, even Second Amendment organizations, and that would be maybe not specifically, but the NRA, those NRA type organizations that advocate for the Second Amendment, and those are all great. But what you encounter most, though, is you find the people are not as cohesive.
Well, they're all great organizations. I have a lot of friends. In fact, I help run a local Tea Party about 20 minutes from my home. But what I find, and right out of their own mouths, New Jersey has been trying to organize a convention for the last 2 or 3 years, and they have not been able to do that. So I wrote one word on the back of a business card, put it face down, and said, "Tell me why you can't get organized." And the answer back was, "There are too many egos." And I asked them to flip my business card over, and that was the word I had written down. It's not that I'm clairvoyant. It's that each one of us has their own individual axe to grind. But what we don't realize is that if we don't win the collective culture war, the hearts and minds of our country, that all those pet peeves, all those, you know, could be Agenda 21, which is a very serious issue, could be Common Core, a very vital issue to our schools. If we don't win the culture war, we're going to come under the brunt of a totalitarian government. You know, we're inching closer to that all the time.
If there's someone listening right now, we got to wrap up this. We're heading to a break right now. But if someone would like to get involved with Life Leadership to provide services to them, how would they do that?
Well, they could contact me. My name is Gene, and my phone number in New Jersey is 908-764-9063.
Brave soul putting it out there on the radio. That's go ahead, say it one more time.
908-764-9063.
Okay, their website people can find if they would like to get in touch as well.
Yes, lifeleadership.com.
All right, that's lifeleadership.com. Gene, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
Pleasure to have you. We're going to continue with the headlines. You got your daily facepalm. Haven't done that in a while. An Ukrainian update right after this.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Singing freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180
shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL. Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. There's a suspect wanted in the murder of four people found dead in a burned mansion in Washington, D.C.
34-year-old Deron Wint has an extensive criminal history. Wanted on charges of first-degree murder in connection to the deaths of Savas and Amy Savopoulos, their young son, and their housekeeper, Vera Alicia Figueroa. And the Washington Post reporting that police were able to connect Wint's DNA to a pizza crust found inside the Woodland Drive home.
Annie Yu with Fox 5 D.C. No official word on a motive. It's believed the victims were held against their will Wednesday night into Thursday morning of last week. David Letterman says goodbye in his final show on CBS.
In light of all of this praise, merited or not, do me a favor, save a little for my funeral, all right?
Okay.
I'd appreciate it.
He hosted 6,028 shows in 33 years on late night TV. Fox News, we report. You decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The American Red Cross was organized this day, May 21st, 1881, by Clara Barton, a school teacher who had moved to Washington at the outbreak of the Civil War. She distributed relief supplies to wounded soldiers and, at the request of President Lincoln, aided in searching for missing men. She helped victims in Europe during the Franco-German War, working with Henry Dunant, founder of the International Red Cross. President Woodrow Wilson recognized those in this great service, stating, "Being members of the American Red Cross, this cross which these ladies bore here today is an emblem of Christianity itself."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hi, this is Carla Dedessi, author of the Julia Learns book series and host of Your Family Matters here at 1180 WFYL. Let's make 2015 the year that we read quality books to our children, the future leaders of this country. Please start with my book series, Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely and Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely. Julia Learns How to Vote Wisely is instructing our children to vote with conservative values and the importance of planting those seeds deeply into our children's hearts at an early age. Julia Learns How to Marry Wisely is planting seeds deeply for truth and nobility and righteousness that we see in traditional marriage. They are the only books that are sharing this message with our children, the future leaders of the United States of America. And please keep a lookout for a third book that will be launched this April 2015, Julia Learns How to Protect Life Wisely. Remember, today's readers are tomorrow's future leaders.
The Julia Learns series can be purchased as ebooks, printed books, and on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other Christian retailers.
You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL. You can call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. The GOP is grappling with ground troops in Iraq. That's a CNN article we're looking at. We just go ahead and wrapped up our spotlight with Area Director Gene Vollmer with Life Leadership, and talking with him, a great organization, a for-profit organization that is using the principles of Scripture to better businesses, everyone from Johnson & Johnson, Delta Airlines, and Sheets Gas, to churches and smaller, medium-sized businesses all around the country, doing that all on biblical principles. That's a testament to the wisdom and Scripture of God, isn't it? So we had a wonderful interview with him, but now we've got the GOP grappling with ground troops
in Iraq. This is, again, the title of a CNN article. And I'll go ahead and read here. This week, as the White House weighed how much force to put behind what is called, or what it called, an Iraqi-led operation to retake Ramadi. Now, Ramadi, of course, just fell to ISIS, has been the subject of much talking in the news. Former New York Governor George Pataki was the latest potential 2016 presidential candidate to argue for a more robust presence of U.S. ground troops to face ISIS. So the story here is that now we're facing a similar situation to what we faced right after September 11th, 2001. ISIS is burning the Middle East. They are burning it to the ground. They are toppling leaders of nations, whether you think that they're tyrannical or not. They are changing the landscape of the Middle East, how it looks and how it probably will look for years to come. All from this organization, this terrorist group, accused of and guilty of some of the worst war crimes in human history. They are now forcing the hand of many politicians to take action. The question, what kind of action should we take? And this is a similar situation as to Iraq. Now, it's not similar in this, and let me just explain this here. It's not similar in the fact that everyone agrees that ISIS is an organization that needs to be stopped. They need to be stopped, plain and simple. Others may have disagreed with Saddam Hussein. People may have agreed that he was a dictator, but should it be the United States' place to topple a leader in a country just for United States' interest? That curbed many into what their action should be in regards to Iraq back in 2001. Now, fast forward to 2015. ISIS is now the entity that is toppling different regimes. Again, whether you agree that they're tyrannical or not, that's not the point. They are changing the landscape of the Middle East. They are changing what it looks like to live in the Middle East. And they're doing that through violence and destruction. So now, what is our place in this conflict is the natural tenor of where this is going to be going, this conversation to be involved in Iraq. Now, George Pataki, New York governor, chimed in, and he believes that there should be a more robust presence of U.S. ground troops to face ISIS. He also said, according to the CNN article, that while he didn't want the United States to send, quote, a million soldiers and spend $1 trillion trying to create a democracy in the region, he would, quote, send in the troops, destroy their training centers, destroy their recruitment centers, destroy the area where they are looking to plan to attack us here, and then get out. Pataki was not as specific, reading on, as South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who recently said he would send in 10,000 American troops to fight ISIS. And Pataki emphasized that his goal was not to build a stable state in the region, but rather to protect our security interests there. And that may well be the argument that wins the day in how to deal with ISIS. Not to necessarily nation build, but to just protect security interests. To get in, attack, and get out. But you and I both know that as soon as U.S. troops hit the ground, they're going to be longer than we all think they need to be. Because you can't plan for that. You can't plan for how long a military operation is going to take. You may have a time frame, but we don't know what the theater of war is going to be like until we're on the ground. ISIS, I guarantee you, will be a different enemy than Al-Qaeda. They'll be different in how they wage war. They'll be different in what they do. They'll be different in how they utilize their resources. They'll be different in supply lines and how those are operating. Because ISIS is declaring itself as an independent state. That's important. Al-Qaeda was not declaring itself as an independent state. ISIS, from a strategic standpoint, is declaring itself as an independent state with borders. This is going to be a completely different conflict if we do get involved. Although I don't think any of us quite know what it will completely look like. The only way that we'll know is when we're actually in. Although the bigger question is what we're doing right now with drone strikes actually impeding ISIS? And it appears that it is not. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, the number to call. What do you think should be done with ISIS? Everyone agrees that ISIS needs to be destroyed. But what's the best way to do it? So we have this problem. What are we going to do with a homicidal, extremist, deplorable excuse for a nation like ISIS? Because that's what they declare themselves. That's what they declare themselves as. They are the Islamic State, and they will not stop until they have conquered the world. Whether they're going to be able to accomplish that, that's another discussion. Obviously, they're not going to be able to do it anytime soon. But nonetheless, that is their objective. Now, reading, I'm going to continue to read a little bit in this article, the CNN article here. How far Republican candidates are willing to go on Iraq as they sketch out. I love how CNN, they poke at Republican candidates because we all know the media is biased. Even Fox is biased. They're conservative bias. If you know that going in, you'll learn a lot more. But how far Republican candidates are willing to go on Iraq as they sketch out their positions, reading now, over the next year will depend in large part on the level of anxiety among voters. For now, concern remains strongest among Republican voters. Because you notice the headline here, GOP grapples with ground troops in Iraq. You know, they chose that headline for a reason. Ground troops in Iraq. Notice they didn't say Syria. They didn't say, because ISIS is not, the conflicts are occurring. The flashpoint is in Iraq right now. But they want to try to stir up that same mentality, that same controversy that we had with the first Iraq war by using this language. Now, is it happening in Iraq? Yeah. What else are they going to say other than Iraq? Well, it's of course, that's what everyone is talking about right now. The conflict is in Iraq. But they're going to use this in the election, mark my words, they're going to use this against Republican candidates in order to draw up and drum up that same imagery of the controversy of the first Iraq war. That's exactly what they're going to try to do. And they're going to bring in many, many commentators with all different points of view, but that's what it's going to hone down on, and that's going to be the message that you're going to hear up until election. They're going to, unless the situation dramatically changes in Iraq right now with ISIS. But ISIS is beyond Iraq. And we need to realize that beyond the nose that the media can't see past right now. At least a CNN article, anyway. You could go ahead, call in at 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-TALK. And we're going to have more as we move on to the... you ready for the facepalm today? Oh, that's going to be a real good one. I can tell you that right now. So that's going to be coming up in our next segment. We're not done yet, though. We're not done yet. Not yet. Again, you can go ahead and... There's so much that's been released from this Bin Laden bookshelf. You can find it at DNI.gov, Office of the Director of National Intelligence. It's called Bin Laden's Bookshelf. Again, everything from an application for terrorism to merely letters. In fact, if I look at... This is a New York Times article. Excerpts from Bin Laden's papers. You'll find many things, his final wishes to his wife. I wonder what she thought about the pornography next to his bed. On how an Islamic State can be established only after the United States is defeated. Because that's the goal of Al-Qaeda as well, to establish an Islamic State. Whether or not they want it to be themselves or someone else. On WikiLeaks disclosures, on email and encryption. So there's a whole lot. There's too much to go over here. But you could go ahead and find that. That's at DNI.gov if you want to look into it yourself.
but we read to you the application to become a terrorist, asking if you're a convicted felon. Well, maybe not a felon. That's not the same language that they use. But if you've ever committed a crime or if you're guilty, your daily face bomb's coming up. You're not going to believe this one. Stay right there.
Lester Holt with NBC Nightly News.
And I'm Chuck Todd with Meet the Press.
We know you can't always watch on our schedule,
so that's why we are always available on yours.
With video on demand, you can watch NBC Nightly News.
And Meet the Press.
Any day of the week.
Any time of the day.
In-depth reporting on the day's top stories from NBC Nightly News.
And political conversations, insight, and analysis from Meet the Press.
Watch our latest broadcast anytime.
With video on demand.
At a speech given at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Camp Hill on Friday, April 17, 2015, Cheryl Atkison, investigative reporter and journalist, was asked for her thoughts on the Tea Party. Here is Cheryl's response.
Well, I'm interested in the Tea Party. I can't say I know that much about it, but for a story I did the last year I was at CBS, and I can't remember why I needed it. I wanted to know the latest poll numbers on support or lack thereof for the Tea Party, and I assumed, like a lot of people, everybody hates the Tea Party, nobody likes the Tea Party, because that's sort of the theme you always hear, oh, the Tea Party, they're a bunch of this and that. Well, to my surprise, and I had no agenda, I just wanted the facts, the CBS polling unit called back and said the last poll we did showed, and I hesitate to use a number because I don't remember the number, but it was extraordinary. It's something, I'm going to say, upwards of 75% or more of Americans agreed with some of the values or the agenda of the Tea Party. And I don't know what they had listed as the values or agenda, or if they had, or they just posed the question. But I was like, that is so different than the reality. So I think there's been an AstroTurf campaign, of course, to controversialize the Tea Party because somebody sees that as damaging. And I think some of that's been within the Republican Party itself, which has done this to the Tea Party.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
On Memorial Day, we honor those who've given their lives in battle so we can live in freedom. But when it comes to memorials, God says there's more to it than just remembering. In Joshua chapter 4, God instituted the concept of memorials and the deeper reason for them. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Upon rolling back the waters of the Jordan River, God instructed the nation of Israel to cross over into the promised land, take 12 stones, and place them on the riverbank as a memorial, a visible reminder to the next generation of the greatness of Jehovah God. In the future, when your children see this memorial and they ask why it's there, you must remind them that it's God who opened the waters of the Red Sea, that it's God who gave victory over the enemy, and that it's God alone who preserves, blesses, and defends. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, urging you on this Memorial Day, while remembering the sacrifice of earthly heroes, remember even more our awesome and great God, to whom all glory and honor are due.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
So we've got Donald Trump. Apparently, he just made a major promise to Christians worldwide. I got an article here in my hands. This is from WesternJournalism.com. This was released, yesterday? This was released yesterday. Donald Trump said he was, quote, very proud of his Presbyterian faith and contended that if he decided to run and ultimately be elected president, he would be the, quote, greatest representative Christians have seen in a long time. As you know, I'm Protestant. I'm Presbyterian. Most people don't know that. They have no idea. And I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of it. That was Trump talking to David Brody of CBN News. That's Christian. I think that stands for Christian Broadcasting Network. But David Brody of CBN News. One of the things I learned this weekend being in Iowa, I met a lot of national security experts and everything else, that if you're a Christian living in Syria, you can't come into this country. And yet, if you are a Muslim living in Syria who are not under attack, they can come in. So Trump
It's referring to recent reports that Christians have been trying to flee the Middle East for the U.S. unsuccessfully. Sister, and I'm reading this article now. This is WesternJournalism.com. The Christians are being treated horribly because we have nobody to represent the Christians, Trump added. Believe me, if I run and I win, I will be the greatest representative of Christians they've had in a long time. So Trump chiming in at the presidential bid, as he always does. Do you believe him? That's a question for you. I'll leave that to you. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. Trump always making headlines with his bids for presidency. So I had no idea he was a Presbyterian. You would think that someone would talk a little bit more about that if their faith is that integral to them. I had no idea he was a Presbyterian. And Trump's been in the news how long? He's been in the news quite a bit. But that's from Donald Trump. So apparently he's going to be he's going to really represent Christians. That's a campaign promise, I guess. All right, it's time. I don't know if I'm ready. Are you ready? I think I'm definitely ready. It's time for our daily facepalm. So. And I kid you not, I read the headline from metro.co.uk. Are you ready? Now you can send someone a fart in a jar. Kid you not. And in the tagline is, 'cause you can. So it's come to this. But let's be honest. And this is the first line of the article. Are any of us at all surprised? So apparently, for the transporting technology, quote-unquote, it'll only cost you $10. And they've got four steps, so you could do this. And you know what? I'm not even going to read them, because I'm looking at the steps. I'm like, I don't know if I could read that on air. You could send anonymously to that person you secretly hate, but are too scared of telling how you really feel. Or, alternatively, post to a friend and leave a note with your name on it, if you have that sort of relationship that knows no bounds. Yeah. What is this world coming to? You could send someone your, You could send someone the, There's really no way to say it. You could send someone a fart in a jar. That's pretty much all I could, say about that one. But there's too many things to go over in the news today. Because apparently, here's another one. A teacher apparently is eat a hamster. He ate a hamster in front of his class to show them how dear life is. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you heard me right on that one. He decided to give his pupils an extracurricular lesson recently by allegedly eating a live hamster in front of them. Police are investigating the teacher, identified only as Yu, that's Y-U, who reportedly gave the little rodent his grisly end to show the pupils in his South Korean classroom how dear life is. This is again from metro.co.uk. That's our... So you got two daily facepalms there. The class he was teaching at the boarding school in Yongpan, North... I'm not even saying that right. Jeolla province were repeatedly teasing hamsters, causing him to take the drastic and, let's be honest, over-the-top method of teaching them a lesson. You think? That's a daily facepalm for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Kind of get a little break. where do we get this stuff from? You tell me. Today it's from metro.co.uk. That's your daily facepalm for the day. Oh, we haven't had one of those in a while. Should we bring that back? Well, I don't know. You let us know on Facebook. We could keep on bringing them. We are going to keep on bringing them. As far as for your Ukrainian update, and what's happening in Ukraine, Ukraine apparently is suspending military cooperation with Russia. I didn't know they were cooperating with Russia in anything. This is according to USA Today. Ukraine's parliament on Thursday voted to suspend military cooperation with Russia in a long-anticipated move, signaling a further break in relations between the once-close partners. Could you even imagine why is... I didn't even know Ukraine was cooperating with Russia militarily in any way. Apparently that's news, that they're not cooperating with each other anymore. The five cooperation agreements scrapped by the Verkhovna Rada include one, giving the Russian military transit rights to reach Moldova, whose territory is partly controlled by a Moscow-supported separatist government. Relations between Russia and Ukraine plummeted after the overthrow in February 2014 of Moscow-friendly Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. Russia subsequently annexed Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula. Kiev also accuses Moscow of aiming and staffing separatist insurgencies in eastern Ukraine. In turning away from Russia, Ukraine has increasingly reached out for assistance to NATO, an organization the current government hopes the country will eventually join. Russia has about 1,500 troops stationed in Transdniester. Dniester? Probably is how it's said. A landlocked separatist strip of Moldova that borders Ukraine. Rescinding the transit rights for those troops creates a logistical problem for Russia, and no solution was immediately apparent. So Ukraine waging a little bit of a diplomatic war against Russia because they're already waging themselves a proxy war in their own country. I didn't know that Ukraine actually had any military cooperation with Russia. That's news to me. Because you would think after everything happening between the Russian separatists that are trying to overthrow their nation and their own politicians being thrown out because of support of Russia, you would think that that would have ended a long time ago. Well, that wraps up the program for today. Again, it's a new day with Mike Levins here. You could go ahead and listen to us next week. We'll be on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7 to 9. And, well, there's always more headlines. Interesting day with David Letterman giving his last show last night. And we'll keep tabs on what's happening with ISIS, as always, in Ukraine. And as always with you, remember that in all these things, whatever may happen today, the next day, or the day before, that no matter what may come across as a headline, Jesus Christ is the answer and is Lord to every problem, every issue we may face as Americans, and even in your own life today. Hope you have a wonderful week. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll see you on the other side of the week, Tuesday, 7 to 9, Wednesday and Thursday. And it's a new day, 1180 WFYL.